Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line is African athletics. Kenyan star Eliud Kipchoge has returned to Germany to defend his title at the Berlin Marathon. A year ago, he took 30 seconds off his world record for the event. Since then, Kipchoge has suffered defeat in Boston, but the Kenyan is sounding confident in the build-up to Sunday's race. The women's race also offers the potential for record-breaking, as the energetic Andy Edwards reports from Berlin. Sporty greetings, Andy!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Does he still have what it takes at the age of 38? Especially after finishing sixth among the hills of Boston in April, has that renowned mental resilience been blunted? We'll have to wait till Sunday morning to discover the reality, but age in itself, given his meticulous training and the long-time partnership with coach Patrick Sang, does not necessarily pose a barrier, not at least for the short term. There's also the very real incentive of winning a place on the Kenyan team for the Olympics in Paris next year. Eliud Kipchoge has openly stated his ambition to win an unprecedented third Olympic marathon title. My current thinking is that if he is at or near his best, he will still be too good for fellow Kenyan Amos Kipruto, runner-up to him in Tokyo last year, and the former world champion Giamai Gebrselassie of Eritrea. His world record stands at 2 hours, 1 minute and 9 seconds, set in Berlin last year. If he breaks that, perhaps becoming the first man to go under 2:01, then anything still seems possible for this great talent. Last year, the women's race was also spectacular in that Tigistha Sefa smashed both the course record and the Ethiopian national record into the bargain. It was barely believable as she improved her best by 18 minutes and ran 2 hours, 15 minutes, 37 seconds. The pre-race comments at press conferences tend to be fairly neutral, and the usual comments of wanting to run a personal best. Nothing changed much this week so far. Both Tigistha Sefa and perhaps her main rival from Kenya, Sheila Chepkirui, sang from the same song sheet. Well, it is still proof of how rigorously they prepare. Chepkirui was fourth in London this April and is amassing a solid portfolio of marathon performances.
What I can say about my form, training has been good, so I'm in a good shape. Hopefully, I'm targeting to run my PP.
So that means you're looking at 2 hours 17 or faster?
Yes, yes.
Give us a picture of where you've been training and how that training's been going for this race.
I've been training in Kenya, a place called Kericho, and training has been good. After running London Marathon, I rest a little bit, then I started training for Berlin Marathon.
The elite women's field in Berlin is one of the best ever. Hardly surprising, given the city's renowned fast course and the fact that those with eyes on running Olympic qualifying times for Paris next year know that Berlin offers a great stage for potential success. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Berlin.
Thanks, Andy. As Andy mentioned, Eliud Kipchoge has openly stated his ambition to win an unprecedented third Olympic marathon title next year in France. In this Sunny Side of Sports flashback, VOA's Gwen Ooten looks back on Kipchoge capturing his second Olympic marathon title in Japan in 2021.
In 2016, Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge won gold at the Rio Games. In 2019, he entered the history books as the only athlete to run a marathon in under 2 hours. He became a two-time gold medalist in Tokyo. Kipchoge clocked a time of 2 hours, 8 minutes. minutes and 38 seconds and now holds two of the top five fastest times in Olympic marathon history. And afterwards, Kipchoge called winning a second consecutive Olympic marathon the achievement of a lifetime.
You can only chase one rabbit. If you chase two, then you cannot get all of them. But the last 5 months, I've been concentrating on the Tokyo Olympic Games, not 25 months. For the last 2 years, I've been concentrating on Tokyo Olympic Games 2020. So I don't want to plan another thing when there is a big job ahead of me. That's why I respect the values of preparation and planning. That what was in my bucket list was Tokyo 2020. But for now, I want to enjoy winning here in Tokyo.
Prior to October 2020, Kipchoge had won 10 straight races until his winning streak came to an end at the London Marathon. That defeat cast doubts on whether he could defend his Olympic title in Tokyo, but all doubts vanished with his victory in the Netherlands in the lead-up to the Games. And Kipchoge says his long journey back to the top is a testament to the endurance and strength of the human spirit.
When I was alone, I was not really confident that I'd still win, but I tried to push on. That I got a peace in my mind to enable me to push more because I was alone, and that's what made me go and maintain the pace. So I tried just to push, and I see some people still there. I tried again, and I just got some few meters, and the distance started to increase a little bit, and that's where I maintained.
Kipchoge is now only the third man to win consecutive Olympic marathon titles, and he's arguably the greatest marathon runner and one of the greatest athletes in Olympics history. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe called Kipchoge a hero, not only to the people of Kenya, but to the entire world.
Kipchoge is a hero. He's a hero to millions and millions of people. And it goes way, way beyond athletics now. You've only got to see the emotional appeal that he has. And I've seen this close at hand when he's been, you know, in running communities and way, way beyond running communities. You know, the 2 hour barrier was a massive moment in our sport. Okay, it wasn't in a competitive race, but it was still one of those big moments. And I'm delighted actually that he has probably got towards the end of his career with another Olympic title under his belt. I think he thoroughly deserves it.
Kipchoge says he wants to be remembered as someone who brought change and inspiration to the sport.
I want to actually be remembered that I changed this world and make running a lifestyle. I'm really advocating for all the families in this world to make running their lifestyles. And I trust it's the only way to come together. It's the only way to enjoy life. That's why I want to be remembered as the one who brought change and inspire the next generation, the whole youth of 3 billion people.
Following his gold medal performance in Tokyo, Kipchoge posted a Twitter message that said simply, "No human is limited." And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Now let's go to the U.S. city of Cincinnati, Ohio, where the U.S. women's national soccer team defeated South Africa Thursday night 3-0 in a friendly international match. The teams will meet again on Sunday in another friendly in Chicago. Lynn Williams scored twice for the American women in Cincinnati, and Trinity Rodman also scored. A crowd of about 22,000 attended the match at TQL Stadium in Cincinnati. Now, there were signs inside the stadium that read, "Thank you, Julie." It was the 123rd and final international match for the USA's retiring midfielder and defender, Julie Ertz, who said goodbye to the fans after the final whistle.
"I'm beyond grateful to represent this crest for as long as I have. I want to thank you to my teammates and for the great win tonight. To any young girl that's out there that dreams to be here, It's worth it. Every part of it. I've enjoyed every part of this journey that I've had, and you guys are a big part of that. God has been so good. I'm so blessed to be here and to have one final game for this last chapter. So I love this sport so much, as we all do, and I'm grateful to be part of the U.S. soccer family.
There will be another farewell on Sunday when the USA plays South Africa again in Chicago. 38-year-old star Megan Rapinoe will make her last appearance for the U.S. women's national soccer team. South Africa's head coach, Desiree Ellis, says Rapinoe has had a huge impact on and off the football pitch.
I think she's probably not just as a player, but an activist for women's football. She's been huge in the world, throughout the world, and has done magnificently for the USA. And for us to be part of that, it's incredible. I think a lot of the players that's played before and players that are currently playing have looked up to her, not just as a player, but as an activist. And I think she's been huge for women's football. So we're really blessed to be part of that send-off of hers.
That's Desiree Ellis, the head coach of South Africa's national women's football team. South Africa lost to the USA on Thursday night, 3-0. The teams will play again in another friendly match on Sunday in Chicago. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of Music Time in Africa, the voice of America's longest-running English-language program. Music Time in Africa was founded in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian. Leo died in 2018 at the age of 97, and as I've mentioned previously on the Sunny Side of Sports, Leo was a true Renaissance man, a broadcaster, an artist, and a musician. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This is a busy time for South Africa's national sports teams. As I reported earlier, South Africa's national women's football team is currently here in the United States to play the USA in a two-match friendly series. South Africa's national rugby team, the Springboks, is defending its world title in France. The Springboks have won their first two matches at the Rugby World Cup, and they play their next match Saturday against Ireland. And South Africa's national cricket team, the Proteas, is preparing for the Cricket World Cup, which begins October 5th in India. Myron Naika joins us once again from Durban to tell us more about the preparations by the Proteas. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings from Durban, Sonny. As the only African nation in the 10-team tournament, South Africa will carry the hopes of the continent. They've reached the semi-finals of the competition four times before and will be hoping to finally land the coveted trophy in India. Cape Town-born batsman Themba Bavuma will captain the team packed with firepower in their batting and bowling units. South Africa's coach Rob Walter says their current focus is preparing for the varying conditions of the subcontinent.
For me, it's not about having one specific way. It's not about being aware of one specific way, because I think you can get a varied number of conditions. So it's trying to have the bases covered. Most importantly, we need to have our eyes open and be ready for what the conditions throw at us and have a method to ultimately compete and win games of cricket.
The tournament is the sports governing body, the International Cricket Council's premier competition. Played in the 50-over format, it features 10 teams. Each country will play each other once in a round-robin format before the top four fight it out in the semi-finals. Captain Bavuma believes in order to compete, they'll need to manage themselves over the duration of the tournament.
It's about playing good cricket, but it's about playing good cricket for that 5 to 7 week period. The first couple of games will obviously be important in terms of us getting that momentum, but in terms of us really getting that cohesion and synergy and flow happening within our team. I believe once we are able to do that as a team sooner than later, then anything can happen for this team.
It's a sentiment fellow batsman Reza Hendricks agrees with. Peaking at the right time will be crucial to success.
It will definitely be very competitive. We know obviously the strength in teams of different countries. It's going to be interesting one, and obviously a highly competitive one, and so we'll obviously have to go out there and do our best and hopefully find form at the right time. I think that's also a major factor going into events. We're looking forward to it, and hopefully we can peak at the right time and play some good cricket at the tournament.
What will help the Proteas in building that momentum is their closeness as a group, says experienced campaigner Aiden Markram.
Been together now for a while as a squad, and there really is a good feel around the camp, and guys really enjoy being around each other and ultimately love doing battle together on the cricket field. So it's exciting for us. Eight guys going to their first World Cup is always a special moment for them, and they sort of bring that energy that you can't sort of match in maybe a bilateral series or something like that. So it is very exciting.
Former South African batsman turned coach and commentator Ashwell Prince likes the balance of the squad. He expects the Proteas to be highly competitive.
I think the balance of the South African team is pretty good. There's a lot of experience both in the batting and the bowling department. Fast bowling and spin bowling department, quite a lot of experience there. Batting all the way from number one to number six, match winners in their own right. So, and Reza Hendricks, who's the reserve batter, is a well-established international batsman these days, and we've seen his form in the T20 competitions as well. So, we've got a very good team, and I'm really happy with the balance that we've got.
What awaits them in India is a cricket-loving nation, primed and ready to play host to the sport's greatest spectacle. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. Samson O'Malley joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports highlights. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sonny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports stories with the FIFA rankings released on Thursday. Guinea-Bissau made the biggest improvement in the rankings, moving up 6 places to position 106. Morocco moved 2 places up to number 13 in the world to keep the Atlas Lions position as a leading African nation in the rankings, while reigning African champions Senegal dropped 2 places from number 18 but occupies the second position on the continent. Tunisia is third in Africa and now ranks amongst the top 30 in the world after moving up to position 29. Algeria is fourth in Africa but 34 in the world, while Egypt occupies the fifth spot. To wrap up the top 5 in Africa, CAF now has 9 teams in the top 50, which is 2 more compared to the previous rankings. Staying with the Confederation of African Football, ahead of the draws for the 2023 African Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast, the continental governing body has released the pots for the draw. According to the pot released on Thursday, host Ivory Coast and African top-ranked team Morocco were placed in pot 1 alongside African champions Teranga Lions of Senegal, Tunisia, Algeria, and Egypt. The Super Eagles of Nigeria in Pot 2 alongside Cameroon, Mali, DR Congo, Burkina Faso, and Ghana. Pot 3 will have South Africa, Cape Verde, Guinea, Zambia, Equatorial Guinea, and Mauritius, while Pot 4 will include countries like Namibia, Mozambique, Gambia, Tanzania, Guinea-Bissau, and Angola. The draw is slated to be held on October 12, 2023. In cricket news, the Proteas women will look to continue their winning waves in one-day internationals when they host New Zealand from this weekend. The Proteas are fresh from a fantastic ODI series win in Pakistan and will want to continue that momentum in front of an expectant home crowd. These series against New Zealand will see the Proteas take the field in Potchefstroom, Pietermaritzburg in Durban for the ODI series, which form part of the ICC Women's Championships 2022 to 2025 campaign from 24th of September to the 1st of October. Interim captain Laura Wuvadut says the series is very important as they hope to qualify for the next World Cup.
Yeah, I think the ODIs are very important for us because they fall part of the ICC cycle. So we sort of have to win the games to get the points in hopes to qualify for the next World Cup. So the ODIs are our main focus. They're really important. And the T20s, we're looking to prep for the World Cup that we have at the end of next year. So both of the series, very important, a lot to work for. But yeah, I expect New Zealand to bring a really good team out here. They have a really good mix of really senior experienced players and some youngsters as well.
And now to wrestling, where Nigeria freestyle wrestler Odunayo Adekunle took home the bronze medal in the women's 57 kilograms event at the ongoing World Championships in Belgrade. The feat earned her a place in the forthcoming 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris, as she becomes the first Nigerian wrestler to grab a ticket for the event. Adekunle achieved the feat after beating Turkish wrestler Elvira Kamaloglu in the third place match with a score of 9-5. Nigerian sports journalist Enobong Monday describes 29-year-old Adekunle qualification for the Olympics as a massive boost for Nigeria.
For someone who is an elite athlete, you always think that even when they have momentary setbacks, they have that quality, that class to be able to, you know, find themselves back into winning ways, and it's great for her. I'm really pleased. I'm pleased that she's going to be in Paris, and that is also a massive plus for Nigeria.
And now to boxing, where Ugandan national boxing team captain Joshua Tukamwebwa says his Olympic Games dream remains alive despite failing to cut the recently concluded African qualifiers held in Senegal. The 22-year-old hopes to participate in the world qualifiers due in Italy later this year and Thailand in March 2024.
We still have hope of qualifying for the Olympics, so it is going to be held next year around March. But so hopefully, if we get more slots and finances from the government and when they select a team, UBF, other countries bring they are number ones that they trust that can make it to the finals and take gold medals. So, and they were aggressive and had the heart of winners. So, I also saw that from them and copied the same. So, that made me to prosper till the semi-finals.
In rugby, Ireland and South Africa, the two best-ranked teams in the world, will face off at the weekend in the Rugby World Cup. Both sides maintained their unbeaten records in the second round of the World Cup fixtures, with Ireland putting just shy of 60 points past Tonga before South Africa beat Romania 76-0. The gaze of both squads will be fixed on winning the tournament, and a successful either side in France will likely ensure an easier quarterfinal clash, although with likely Pool A qualifiers, France and New Zealand lying in wait. The advantage will hardly be a big one. Head coach of the South Africa Springbok is Jack Niamba.
If you look at the Ireland team and you look at their consistency and performances, there hasn't been a lot of weaknesses over the last couple of months. So we expect a proper test match.
In handball, the semi-final lineup for the Africa Women's Youth Handball Championship has been decided. Nigeria will on Friday play Egypt, who had earlier defeated Algeria 30-18 points in the quarterfinals, while Angola will play Guinea in the second semi-final, also on Friday. In athletics, banned New Zealand Olympic runner Zane Robertson has been arrested in Kenya over allegations of sexual assault and possession of an unlicensed AK-47 assault rifle found at his home in the East African nation. Robertson was arrested on Wednesday at his home in the town of Etien in western Kenya, one of the world's most famous training bases for long-distance runners. Robertson and his twin brother Jake moved to Kenya when they were teenagers to pursue their running ambitions. Staying with athletics, legendary Kenya marathoner Eliud Kipchoge is looking forward to taking part in his fifth career Berlin Marathon ahead of the annual city marathon set to take place this Sunday. Kipchoge, who broke his own world record at the same event last season, has enjoyed great success at the event, winning 4 gold medals in 2015, 2017, 2018 and 2022. The 38-year-old will be itching to make his fifth career win in 6 attempts by conquering the streets of the German capital once more this year.
I think Berlin is purely flat course and very fast. Secondly, is that, you know, Berlin is the home of sport. The crowd in Berlin has its own percentage that they're contributing to my performance, and I appreciate them. So it's a recipe of many things. From my teammates, training hard, the management, the whole system, and the whole system actually is the crowd in Berlin is inside the system, because they are the ones who cheer me on Sunday to move on and still ran beautiful times.
That's Eliud Kipchoge, Kenya's world record holder and two-time Olympic champion, who will defend his title in Sunday's Berlin Marathon. And thanks to Samson Omale for that extra spicy package of African sports news.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the September 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
Wishing you a nice and sporty weekend ahead. from VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.